is the order of matins beginning on page 32. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O come, let us worship the Lord. We now continue with responsive introit as printed in your bulletin insert. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house.
And the place where your glory dwells.
Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity.
And I have trusted in the Lord without wavering.
Prove me, O Lord, and try me. I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord.
Proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Without end. Amen. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house.
And the place where your glory dwells.
You may be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 29. The vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. When men give it to one who can read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot, for it is sealed." And when they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot read." And the Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. Therefore, behold, I will again do wondrous things with this people, and with wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, "Who sees us? Who knows us?" You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay, that the thing made should say of its maker, "He did not make me"? Or the thing formed say of him who formed it, "He has no understanding"? It is not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest. In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. But thou, Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of this body, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Please rise. The gospel reading is from Mark chapter 7. When the Pharisees gathered to Jesus with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. You may be seated for the hymn of the day.
Beloved, we have come together in the presence of God this morning to bless and witness the joining together of man and woman in holy matrimony, namely the joining together of the man, Jesus Christ, with his beloved bride, the Holy Christian Church. Now, I do not need to tell you, beloved, that God's institution of marriage is under attack. Now, it's true that marriage has been attacked in almost every age and in every society, but the modern assault on marriage is different in its scope. It does not simply wish to undermine marriage with infidelity or extra wives, etc. If the hostile forces succeed, the word marriage will have lost all definition whatsoever. Our media promotes gay marriage and open marriages and polyamory and divorce, and I even recently saw an article about sexless platonic marriages, which are apparently all the rage among millennials, like everything seems to be. If the hostile forces succeed, the word marriage and the tax designation might remain, but for all intents and purposes, the institution of marriage will have been abolished in our society, meaning that there would be fewer real marriages. We already see this trend. Fewer husbands and wives raising children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and more broken men and women, fatherless children, and lost and confused people. If the hostile forces succeed, and they have had many successes, the term marriage will mean the exclusive or non-exclusive, probably sexual, partnership between two or more people of the opposite or same sex that is entered into for life, or until the parties involved decide to go their separate ways. Namely, the word marriage will have no meaning at all. It will have no definition, and people will suffer for it. Why are the hostile forces so intent on the destruction of marriage? Remember what St. Paul tells us shortly after today's epistle reading. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The enemies of marriage are not politicians. They are not activists. They are not university professors. They are not the Hollywood elites. Those people are confused. They are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd because they have not yet heard the shepherd's voice and believed. The hostile forces are the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil, namely the devil and his demons. The devil hates marriage and wishes to destroy it. He hates it because, as the Apostle Paul says, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. The devil hates marriage because it is an image, an icon of Christ and his holy church. Just as God instituted marriage in the beginning with Adam and Eve, he has instituted marriage anew in the sending of his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Just as God opened Adam's side to take his rib, Christ's side was pierced on the cross and opened by a spear. Just as God took Eve out of Adam's side, so the church flowed out of Christ's side. Blood for the chalice and water for the font. Just as God presented Adam's wife to him, pure and fresh, blood of his blood and flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, so also Christ presents the church to himself, pure and holy, washed with water and the word. As Jesus gives the church the wine now become blood, he too can rejoice, this at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And just as Adam named Eve mother of all the living, so also Christ names his beloved bride, the Christian church, mother of all the living. For just as the love of a husband for his wife brings forth children, the love of Christ for his bride brings forth children from all nations. Through the waters of holy baptism, the forgiveness of sins are poured out, and the heavenly family is expanded. Marriage is not a tradition of men, but an institution of God written into the very fabric of creation itself. Marriage, no matter what we say or do or wish, is defined by God because he made it, as Jesus said to the Jews who questioned him about divorce. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. God's institution of marriage in the beginning is definitive of marriage for all people, for all places, and for all time. Marriage, according to God's definition, is the lifelong, not partnership, but union between one man and one woman, expressed and culminating in the one flesh union that is open to the bringing forth of children. Nothing other than that can be called marriage. Now, from Scripture, we know that marriage, as God has defined it, is the bedrock institution of human society. Human society is not a collection of individuals, but a collection of families. History testifies to the scriptural truth. The fall of the Roman Empire was precipitated by a dramatic decline in the number of marriages and the resulting falling birth rate. We in the United States should take heed as U.S. marriage and birth rates hit record lows. So also, study after study has confirmed what we already know from Scripture, that the breakdown of marriage is wreaking chaos and havoc in our country. We can just highlight one issue, the issue of fatherlessness. Children without fathers in the home account for 63% of youth suicides, 70% of children in juvenile detention, 71% of high school dropouts, 75% of those with substance abuse problems, 75% of rapists, 85% of children diagnosed with behavioral disorders, and 90% of homeless and runaway youths. Fatherlessness, not race, not economic background, not education, is the number one predictor of whether a child will be incarcerated, live in lifelong poverty, or suffer from abuse. There is no institution on earth more important, with more and greater temporal effect on human happiness and prosperity than marriage. We know this. Yet today, marriage is under attack. Why? Why is marriage under attack? Well, the devil tried to attack Christ. He tried to defeat him on the cross, but Christ is risen, victorious, never to die again. So the devil must content himself by attacking us. And what better way to attack us than by attacking marriage? First, the devil gets to revel in all the human pain and suffering that results from the breakdown of marriage. But second, and most importantly, he thinks that by destroying marriage, he can destroy the image of Christ and the church. Resist the devil, beloved. Hold marriage sacred among you. How? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husbands, you are an icon of Christ to your wife. You are called to love your wives as Christ loved the church. You are called to true love, to self-sacrificial love that holds the good of your wife above your own good. Christ's love for the church led him to the cross and to his death. And so your sacrifice, you are called to make the same sacrifice for your wife if the situation arises. Is it any wonder that our society that has forgotten what marriage is now debating drafting women into the military? Instead of men being sent to the front line to die on the front for their wives and daughters, we talk about drafting our women to die on behalf of men. The corruption of marriage bears many wicked fruits. Husbands, the Lord has set you at the head and made you Christ's representative to your family. Christ gave himself up for the church so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Your primary calling is to bring the word of God to your wife and to your family, to proclaim to them the forgiveness of sins, and to bring them here to Zion to receive the Lord's gifts. Hold up the word of God before your wife and family in daily devotions. We wring our hands and worry about our children growing up in the faith. Proverbs gives this wisdom for life in a fallen world. Train up a child in the way he will go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Husbands, this burden falls heavily on you. A Swiss study has shown that children that grew up with fathers who regularly attended church were 78% more likely to be faithful attenders of church as an adult. And a Pew Research study found that 93% of children that grew up with daily Bible study in the house continued in the faith until adulthood and beyond to raise their own children in the faith. There's a reason, as we see the decline of Christianity in America, that 30% that is self-described as, or Pew defines as strong Christians or devoted, I think that's the word they use, devoted, that number has not been decreasing. It's all the people in the middle that have been leaving the church. Wives, you also resist the devil. Keep marriage sacred among you. How? Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as this church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. God has given husbands the leading role, the head role, in marriage. But this is not a capricious headship. With his own example, Christ has described what it means for a Christian to be an authority. You know that those regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their superiors exercise authority over them. But it shall not be this way among you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Unlike the Taliban, the Christian man does not lord his position over his wife, but uses his position of authority to serve, protect, and care for his wife and family. Wives, you are to submit to your husband as the church submits to Christ. This means to receive from your husband his sacrifices with thanksgiving. Receive the forgiveness of sins that he proclaims to you, and hear the word of God that he proclaims to you, and respect him as your head. This is just as the church gathers here every Sunday to receive Christ's gifts, to receive his sacrifice with thankfulness, and to respect him as our head. Husbands and wives, forgive one another. And when you sin against each other, forgive. Keep marriage sacred among you. By honoring marriage, you spit in the devil's eye and hold up a beacon of Christ and his church to the world. For 175 years, Zion has been a city on the hill from which the light of God's word has shone. Let us pray, and let it be that Zion for 175 more years and even beyond until the return of Christ the bridegroom be a light on the hill from which God's institution of marriage might shine. And if you have sinned against marriage in any way, repent and remember that you, baptized Christian, are Christ's beloved bride. He loved you and gave himself up for you, that he might sanctify you, having cleansed you by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present you to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that you might be holy and without blemish. If Christ has washed you with water and his word, you are certainly holy. You are cleansed from your sin. You are without spot. You are without wrinkle. You are without blemish. Before him, you are holy and full of splendor. And remember that Christ loves you with the enduring love of a man for his bride. Amen. The ushers may come forward to receive the offering.
please rise for the Te Deum?
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are known, grant us a true faith that we would honor you not only with our lips, but serve you faithfully with all of our heart, mind, and strength. Gracious Lord, give joy and hope to all your children in remembrance of their washing of water and the word, that they may rejoice in the forgiveness of sins that Christ freely pours out in this saving flood. Heavenly Father, preserve us from rejecting your commandments for the doctrines of men, by your Spirit's aid, as you have preserved Zion for 175 years. Lead all Christians to keep your commandments in thought, word, and deed, honoring you in all that we do. Preserve, O Lord, your estate of marriage. Grant that wives would submit to their husbands, and husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Hear our prayers for our nation and its leaders, especially for our soldiers, whose work imperils them for the sake of their neighbor, and for our country, men and allies trapped in Afghanistan, that they may be delivered safely. Lord of life, Encourage with your word and grace all who suffer physically, emotionally, and spiritually on account of illness, including Marvin Grody, Esther Schweier, Jim McCullough, Joyce Lechner, Aubrey Art, Sean Mendez, Austin Art, Thomas Etzler, the Reverend David and Barbara Bush, Barbara Wolford, Ryan Fiesel, Charlotte Davis, Maya Culla, Wanda Schweier, Waylon Steiner, Kenny Miller, Patricia Lee, Jeff Secor, and Nikki Strait. Bless all medical professionals with the skills necessary to give relief and care to their pain where possible. Lord of the Church, as this congregation is in a time of pastoral vacancy, grant by your grace that Zion continually be fed with your word, which is able to sustain them unto salvation. Holy Spirit, grant discernment to Zion's call committee. Guide them by your word as they seek out the next man to feed them with your word and blessed sacraments. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. morning. Most of our announcements are in the bulletin, and Hayden has one here as well. And then after that, you may be seated, by the way. Then we'll read the confirmands from 69 to 78 for as part of the anniversary celebration.
I just wanted to thank you guys for inviting me to preach as part of your series of preachers celebrating your guys' anniversary. It's of course special having been a field worker here to be invited back to participate in more of the history of this congregation. And Zion is an amazing example of the Lord's faithfulness. Just to think that Bible read by John George Shum, that he was faithful and brought up his family in the faith, and all these generations have followed after him, and that blessing has expanded far beyond the walls of just this building, far beyond just Wilshire, Ohio, with all the field workers that you guys help out. Your influence spreads throughout the entire synod, of course. And just as a founding member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, many Christians around the world owe thanks to what God has done through John George Shum and those who have followed him here at this congregation, like 4 million Lutherans in Madagascar who would not believe and know the gospel if it were not for the fact that the Missouri Synod was around and that God has worked through that. So just wanted to say once again that I'm grateful for being invited to preach, and I am privileged to have had the experience that you guys have given me over the years. Thank you.
From the year of 69, confirmands of Randall Hummerkaus, Michael L. Shum, Melanie Shum, Ronald Banker, David Salway, Melinda Baxter Cohn. Confirmands of 1970, Diane Banker, Suzette Ballenbacher, Edgar Fuhling, Rhonda Heilman Sinning, Karen Hoffman Egley, Gloria June Ream, Charles Salway, James Shum, Mark Shum, Cynthia Schwartz, Stephanie Weaver Bowman. From 1971, Thomas Baxter, Daniel Loftus, David Loftus, Devera Reem Rowe, Ellen Salway Regal, Paul Schuler, Ronald Shum. From 1972, Cheryl Dietrich Schaefer, Roland Reem, Dennis Salway, Gerald Schwartz, Mary Shum. From 1973, Stephen Dietrich, Deborah Heilman Black Bagley, Tim McCullough, Martha Schuler. From 1974, Kim Jones Dietrich, Christina Bilemick Almendinger, Jane Parrish Dietrich, Alex Sinning, Eugene Salway, Mary Schuler, and William Shum Jr. From 1975, Terry Almendinger, Susan Black Dooley, Kevin Grody, James McCullough, Jeffrey Ream, Kimberly Schlickman Carr, and Michael Shum. From 1976, Diane Baker, Brent Baker, Christine Fox, Michelle Merkel Hill, Dwayne Salway, Becky Schlemmer Honeycutt, David Schuler, Beverly Shum Barkley, Marlon Shum, Kay Shum, and Matthew Schwartz. From 1977, Grace Baxter Goings, David Ream, Douglas Salway, Brenda Ballenbacher, David Jones, and Linda Ream. From 1978, Scott Black, George Schinnerer, Penny Schinnerer, Karen Shum, Brenda Baker Matthews, Kenneth McCullough, Tanya McCullough, Melvin Ream, and Ruth Schuler. And that concludes the list. Have a great week, and I'll see you in the back. See you in the back.